often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portal, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Would you join me in this one time? Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. O Lamb of God, I come.
We have been using as our guide the New Testament letter to the Hebrews. Our guide has been chapter 11 of Hebrews, and in chapter 11 of Hebrews, we hear about many faithful people from the Old Testament. And we've spent quite a while going through the many faithful people that are pointed out in that chapter. We're getting close to the end now. We just have a couple left after this one. But today we're going to be talking about David. And David, we could do a whole series. We could do a whole summer. We could do a whole year on David himself. There's so many different parts to David's life. We could talk about David, how he was a shepherd boy. We could talk about the time in Bethlehem when, as the youngest in his family, he ended up being anointed. He was going to be the new king. We could get into the whole story of David and Goliath. We could talk about how the old king, King Saul, was after David. Because David, as we know, was anointed to be the new king. We could talk about David's wonderful friendship with Jonathan. We could get into the many battles that are listed that King David was a part of. We could get into some other stuff too. We could talk about David and Bathsheba and her husband Uriah and that whole wicked story. We could talk about David's trouble in his own family, dealing with his son Absalom. And we could look at the end of David's life too. We could look at David making Solomon, one of his sons, the new king. We could go through the whole life of David. And along the way, we could talk about faith. We could talk about triumph. We could talk about failure. We can talk about sin. We can talk about suffering. We can talk about hope, joy, mercy, peace. We can talk about worship, and we can talk about repentance. And I'm sure we could come up with 15 other themes for David's life too. But through it all, there's one thing about David that sticks out to me in a big way. It's one thing that sticks out to me. And I think this will be a great place for us to go when we think about David and his life of faith. This is just a verse out of 1 Samuel. It's 1 Samuel 13:14. And this will set us up for what we're going to talk about today. The priest at the time, Samuel, who we're going to talk about next week, rebukes the old king, King Saul. And this is one thing that he says. "But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." Who is he talking about here? He's talking about David. And who is David? David is a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. Before we jump into this today, I do have a question. Where are you at right now? How would God define you? Would he define you as a man or a woman after his own heart? Is that how God would describe you? Or would other descriptions come into play? Would you be described as out for yourself and just out for your interests? Or is your life all about satisfying your own desires? Or is it your way or the highway? Or are you dispositioned on a daily basis to set aside your self-interest in favor of the Lord's. Well, maybe you're on the way, like I am. I want to be a man after God's own heart. Well, how do we live that kind of life? And what does that kind of life look like? Today, we are going to be in the book of Psalms. And a basic description of what a psalm is, the Psalms were basically the hymn book for public worship for ancient Israel. And they've also been the hymn book for Christians too. Christians along the way, for centuries and centuries and centuries, sang and prayed the Psalms. They were a foundation for them for worship. It's a divinely ordained way to learn devotion to God, singing the Psalms. So today, we're going to look at Psalm 23. This is a psalm that was written by King David. To give you some background, this writing of Psalm 23 happened about 1,000 years before Jesus. And I think it really describes David's heart disposition, where his heart is at. Yes, we know that he had failed and had sinned along the way, but the disposition of his heart comes out here in Psalm 23. This is his song. This is his prayer to the Lord. And it's pretty awesome that even though this was sang and written by David 1,000 years before Jesus, it points ahead to Jesus. It points ahead to the salvation that Jesus brings. David had faith in the Messiah that was to come. So let us pray, and then we're gonna look at Psalm 23. Gracious God, we thank you for the Psalms that you have brought us. We thank you for the Psalms that David wrote. We thank you for a glimpse into his heart, what it means to live for you, what it means to have faith, what it looks like. Lord, help us to see it clearly. And Lord, we ask for help in living it by faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Several years ago now, I had the opportunity to go to Israel. And we got to see a lot of different sites over there. One of the spots that we stopped at was the Valley of Elah. This is where David had defeated Goliath. It was a big field. There was a dried up stream that went through the middle of this valley. And we were able to go and I picked up a few stones, 5 of them, from that stream bed. I think everybody else did too. I don't know, maybe they bring truckloads of rocks from time to time for all of the people that are picking up rocks there, but picked up some rocks there. And when we were there, you know what we saw in the distance? We saw a shepherd boy with sheep. And how could you not think of David in his young life seeing that? David was a shepherd. He wasn't always a king. He was a shepherd, and he knew what it meant to shepherd sheep. I imagine David not being far away from the sheep, just like our Lord is not far away from us. I imagine David taking tender care of the sheep as he led them around. Again, we can have that same picture for our Lord, taking tender care of us. Day and night, David would have kept track of the sheep, sleeping with one eye open. And we know that our Lord takes care of us day and night, all of the time. I remember Elijah talking to the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel before he called fire down from heaven. And he made fun of their God, wondering where their God was. They had tried calling out to their God to bring down fire. And they even beat themselves up and cut themselves in order that their God Baal bring fire from heaven, but their God never did. And Elijah kind of poked fun of them. Hey, where is your God? What is he doing? Is he, you know, did he step away for a while? Well, our Lord, he doesn't do that. He never steps away. Never stops caring for us. David, he kept track of the sheep. The Lord, he knows our going in and our coming out. David recognized, and I think this is, I mean, obviously this is the first part of having a disposition towards the Lord. Having your heart turned towards the Lord is declaring, the Lord is my shepherd. I fall under him. He's in charge of my life. And like I said, this points ahead to Jesus. Who is Jesus? Well, Jesus himself says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's from John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus tells us that he's the one that came to seek and to save the lost. He's the one that will leave the 99 sheep and go find that one lost one. That's who Jesus is. And a thousand years before Christ, David is seeing the Lord this way, and he's singing about it. We're reminded about what kind of life Jesus came to bring. Life forever and ever with him and the Father. And we're reminded in Scripture that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is the only way to salvation. Sin separates us from God, and the only way for reconciliation is with Jesus, who died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. So our first heart disposition here is to recognize that God is our shepherd. And we need to repent. We need to trust. Live lives of faith, and keep doing this all the way through all of our ups and downs, persevering through whatever we go through. The Lord is our shepherd. The next part of David's song. He says, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. There's something that Jesus says once in his Sermon on the Mount that sticks out at me when I think about being led along the still waters and being able to lie down in the green pastures. We're talking about being with the shepherd, having the shepherd as our Lord. And we find that in, let's see here, that one is in Matthew, and it's chapter 6. Here's what Jesus says. The good shepherd, our Lord, this is what he says. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But rather, first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The good shepherd will take care of us. And because we can trust that the Lord will take care of us, we have lives that are free. We have hearts that are free to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Why have you been so blessed? Why do you have all of the food that you need? Why do you have an awesome place to live? Why are you so well taken care of? It's so that you can seek his kingdom and his righteousness, so that you can daily dwell in his goodness. You can dwell in all of his blessings. You can dwell in all of his benefits. With the Lord as our shepherd, we have a heart disposition that sees the glass half full rather than half empty. We have a disposition, rather than complaining about everything in life, we are free to seek his kingdom and his righteousness and to live for him. We don't have to bog ourselves down with what our world bogs itself down with anymore. We have the Lord, and with him as our shepherd, we are free. Free to live with, we talked about hope and joy and mercy and peace and worship. We are free to do these things because the Lord provides. We can lie down in those green pastures, and we can be led beside the still waters. We went, my son and I and a neighbor, we went fishing yesterday morning. And we were able to park the boat, throw the anchor down, and we were pretty close to shore. And it was just beautiful out on Green Lake. My friend, he never catches anything. But Austin and I, we both got a rock bass, which we were excited about. But man, just the feeling, just sitting there, still, you know, the water's nice and still, and it just awesome how the Lord takes care of us. Next thing that David points out is that the Lord restoreth his soul. The Lord restoreth his soul. In the Reformed tradition, we're going back to some of the early Reformed theologians now. We're thinking of folks like Calvin and others. They talk about something called the means of grace. The means of grace. And this isn't, certainly we can think about all of our blessings, we can think about all of those things, but they talk about two specific ways, tangible specific ways, that we receive the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And these two means of grace that they talk about are the reason that every Christian should be part of a body of believers. That every Christian should be part of a church. That every Christian, everyone who calls Jesus Lord should gather regularly with others. They say that the means of grace comes through the Word and the sacrament. The Word and the sacrament. The hearing and preaching of God's Word is a means of grace for us as Christians. And participating in the sacraments, that this is a means of grace that we receive from Jesus. How do we get our souls restored? We seek the Lord. And we know that we're going to receive His grace. 100% for sure. Hearing His word, participating in the sacraments. That's why what we do here is so important. And you know what when I was ordained, do you know what they call me? I'm not the minister of solving problems. I'm not the minister of making everybody happy. I'm not called to be the minister of taking care of the church building. I'm not the minister of making sure that our budget is met. I'm the minister of what? The Word and sacrament. That's what my calling is. And that's my primary function here in the church. I am the minister of the Word and sacrament. My job, my calling is to bring you the Word and to bring the sacraments, because those are the means of grace. That is how we get our souls restored. All right, the next section of Psalm 23, David points out that He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The Lord leads us in the way that we should go. And again, we talk about how this points ahead to our Savior, points ahead to Jesus, and we can turn to the Sermon on the Mount again. I don't know if you know this, but the Sermon on the Mount is one of my favorite passages. I spent many months memorizing the Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Every week, I will spend some time, one morning, whether that's sitting in my car down by the dam at the mill pond, or if I'm on my motorcycle getting some coffee on Monday morning, or this week I found some ice fishing stuff that I wanted to buy from somebody, and I actually, in the car on the way there, I went through the Sermon on the Mount from memory. But I've memorized the Sermon on the Mount. Well, I have Psalm 23 memorized too. But so much here. So much life from Jesus. And in Matthew 7, Jesus talks about who He is. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate, For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many will enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. And how do we go to the narrow gate? It's with Jesus. It's by following Christ. It's by declaring that the Lord is our shepherd, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Moving on, David talks about running through struggle and suffering and problems. And he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And when I think about that, I'm brought to another one of my favorite psalms. It's Psalm 91. And there's a beautiful connection in Scripture with Psalm 91. This is how the beginning of Psalm 91 goes. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence." And this verse is the one that I want you to stick out for you. "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked." And like I said, there's an awesome and beautiful connection. I love Scripture, and I love how there's connections. Now listen to what Jesus says. This is in Luke chapter 13, 34. He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under his wings, but you were not willing." I love that connection. Psalm 91, finding refuge under the Lord's wings. And we see here that the Lord is offering that protection. How Jesus longs to gather the children of Jerusalem together as a hen gathers her chicks under his wings. He wants to be their shepherd, but they are unwilling. How about you? Are you willing? Are you willing to rest under the wings of our Savior, our shepherd? Moving on in Psalm 23. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." With Jesus, we know that we can stand firm under his wings, under his protection, with his means of grace, the word and the sacraments. We know that we can stand firm. We can stand firm when they call us extremists. We can stand firm when we're called fundamentalists. We can stand firm when what we're saying about the truth of Scripture is labeled as violent speech. We can stand firm when we are speaking out against everything that is out there today, when it comes to abortion and marriage, everything We can stand firm because we know that the Lord is the one that provides us with protection, that He is our refuge, and that He will see us through, not just right now, but for eternity. This is the confidence that the apostles and the disciples of Jesus had. It's the confidence that Stephen had when he was stoned to death. Confidence that the Lord was his shepherd. Finally, Psalm 23 ends with this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When you think about your life, whether it's going great right now or whether it's not so hot, do you wake up with a heart like David's here with Psalm 23, with the thankfulness that he has? Surely, yeah, things might be going bad, but surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you wake up with that kind of heart attitude towards God? When you get to work and you encounter that one coworker that just rubs you the wrong way at every turn, or that customer that you don't want to deal with, or that lady that always comes down to the senior center that you just can't stand to play cards with, or whatever it might be, do you approach your life the way that David does, that surely, surely goodness and mercy are following me today? And of course, we don't want to forget the salvation part, that Jesus has gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us, that we are going to be where He is forever and ever. Is the Lord your shepherd? Do you find refuge in Him? Is He your mighty fortress? Is your heart turned towards Him today? Shall we pray? Gracious God, we thank You for this wonderful psalm that You inspired David to write. Lord, we thank You for it. We thank You for the truth that you bring us with it, that we can declare that You are our shepherd and that we can find refuge under Your wings. Lord, we thank You for giving us hope in a hopeless society, for giving us joy in a society that thinks that they can fulfill their own desires. Lord, we know that that life and joy at its maximum comes from You. Lord, we thank You for giving it to us. In Jesus' name, amen.